I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the Jazz Notes podcast for this week, and I love this music, Cleon. Cleon Waldron.
It's kind of nice and funky, isn't it?
Yeah. It's jazzy.
I like the trumpet.
Come on. It's not the Utah funk.
Okay.
Although.
Did you see the note I sent to you about this? I said the jazz continue to fail because the jazz music can be sad, and they can never have a happy end.
Oh, come on. Okay, so we, right along with you, watched the 25-point meltdown. Did you you're a sports guy. You're a sports guy. You had to think New England Patriots, Falcons, right, when they were leading by 25 in the Super Bowl in the third quarter. I made that immediate jump where I was like, okay. And then when the points start melting away, when the lead starts dwindling.
When were you nervous?
When did I get nervous?
When were you like, okay, yeah, they're in big trouble now?
I was pretty optimistic until Westbrook hit that three to tie it at 78.
Really?
That's what I'm saying. I kept the faith for a while, and even then, because my whole thing was just like, I was just like, come on, I don't want to have to work on Friday. I mean, that's very very selfish of me, but at the same time, and there was this part two where I'm like, I watched the Rockets. You know, easily win against the Timberwolves at home. And I thought, let's see this thing go through where they're both with the same amount of rest, both going into the weekend, coming out of the other side next weekend, fully rested, watching the Eastern Conference flail during their playoffs in the way of the weekend. So that's what I thought. It was like, let's have the Jazz be rested and ready to go, and let's put this whole dadgum Oklahoma City thing behind them because it's been chippy and nasty. And it's been weird, and I hate Russell Westbrook when he's on fire. And I don't know if it's like – the thing is, I was saying this too. I'm okay when Damian Lillard goes off. I don't like when Russell Westbrook goes off on the Jazz because he has this attitude. It bothers me. It's the
antics that go along with it, correct?
I'm not a big fan of Jazz fans chanting Westbrook sucks. Yeah. I don't like those chants during the game. But I might be there on Friday saying the same thing. No, I just don't like the attitude. And look, to melt down, we could talk about where the problems were, and maybe we start with that. Right off the bat, Rudy's foul troubles were an issue. Everybody saw that fourth foul, or what was a lack of a fourth foul. It was like 3 feet away from the guy he supposedly made contact with. I don't know, but you can complain about that all day and be like, he actually had five fouls, not four, not six. But come on. The reality was is Rudy was taken. He didn't play that great of a game. Even with the foul trouble and everything, he's at the line and he has nine with like 3 minutes left. He has 9 points and 9 rebounds. That's not an effective Rudy Gobert. And Big T Thurl Bailey after the game said, "Look, as soon as you take away Rudy, that main street opens and you're driving right down that thing." Yeah. And that's what Paul Westbrook might as well have been with 79 combined points last night. The 79 combined points out of the 107 is amazing. The more amazing thing was that 61-28 stretch at the end of the game, 61-28, 54 of the 61 points were scored by Russell Westbrook and Paul George.
And that 32-7 run that they had,
oh my gosh,
mid-third into the fourth, or no, at the end of the third, 32-7 run, each point scored by Westbrook
or Paul George.
Yeah, or Paul George.
And it just shows you that, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't live in this depression, Cleon. Cleon, maybe we should just move right on to how the Jazz get this win in Game 6 at home on Friday. Because I don't see – it's just like Game 1 where I don't see Russell Westbrook and Paul George against this Utah Jazz defense that normally plays so well together. There was this energy, though, that Oklahoma City had. I hadn't seen Russell Westbrook run that fast in the series during breaks. And frankly, you don't see him hit that many shots. Can I assume that he's not going to be as hot at Vivint Arena and Paul George won't be as hot or as useful for them to combine for 79 points? 45 from Westbrook, 34 from George.
That's what you would hope. I think the other thing that you have to think about is if there's one good thing you can take from this, if there is a good thing you can take from this, you now know what it's like to face desperation Paul George and desperation Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. There we go. I think mm-hmm. I can speak English. You now know what that's like. Because I'm sitting there watching it with a buddy last night, and all I keep thinking is, how do you stop a star like this? And he kept saying, they're making a mistake. They're going under the screens. And I'm like, well, yeah, but they've gone under screens this whole entire series.
Yeah.
It just so happened that Russell Westbrook caught on fire. So do I think they'll be hot again? I don't think so. But I know that they're going to be desperate again. So they know what it's like. They know what it's like when these two guys are really desperate and they want to keep this series going. So I think if there's a good thing, that's what you take from it. And you now have to game plan for that. I don't know if double teaming Russell Westbrook is a good idea, but they got to try at least a few different things to see if they can at least slow him down a little bit. They've done a good job of that, of stopping him on the break that way with a double team just to start out with. But they've got to figure out some way maybe to just get the ball out of his hands.
Yeah.
Get it to someone else. Let someone else try and take a shot.
Jay Crowder's 27 off the bench did nothing to soothe the feeling of helplessness that the Jazz were going through. When he hit that three-pointer and they went up 71-47, and I started shaking the hands of the people in the room around me like, congratulations, congratulations. I couldn't believe it, and I thought to myself, I don't want Jay Crowder to be having 27 points off the bench. I love this team thing where somebody comes in and is on fire and does a great job. But this lineup of Jay Crowder, Royce O'Neal, when I saw those two guys in the game, I thought to myself, is this the lineup I want? Is this the lineup I want? And part of that is foul trouble. I thought Faves was a little flat. I thought that the entire second half, the Jazz looked so lost. Not the entire second half. Between 7.5 minutes of the third quarter all the way through the end of the game, the Jazz looked lost. And there were times when Donovan Mitchell looked like, okay, he's going to take this thing over. And they got within three in that last 2.5 minutes or so. And then another couple three-pointers get hit by Paul George and then Russell Westbrook. And then you go, okay, now they're down eight, and there's no reason to – there's no reason – lock this one up. I guess we're working on Friday. So what happens then in Game 6, Cleon?
I think they need to figure out a way not to play. This is how I would say it. Prevent offense. It just seemed like once they got that 25-point lead, they weren't as aggressive. So they need to be more aggressive.
The head scratcher was that wide open Rudy under the hoop.
Yes.
And then
Why are you passing it out?
And then he dumps it out. It's not like he's going to get a foul for dunking. It was like he was protecting himself. Like, oh, didn't want the foul. It's like he just dishes it out. He dishes it out to Donovan Mitchell for the lowest percentage shot, you know, that you can basically take. It certainly in comparison to that. I mean, yeah. It's just like you might as well have been shooting from half court. It's like a guy who's on a breakaway on his own, and then he's I'm going to dish it back to this guy who's being covered suddenly. He didn't dunk it, and that was frustrating to me, and I thought, I like that you guys do the extra pass. That's not the time to do the extra pass, and it made me think their heads aren't in the right place right now. They're flailing, and the game had already been lost at that point.
He faked himself out. I mean, he saw someone there out of the corner of his
eye.
He saw someone out of the corner of his eye and didn't realize that guy is like 6'2", and he's 7'4", or something like that. So it almost felt like that. And the other one, I'll say Joe Ingles, too. Sometimes I want Joe Ingles to be a little bit selfish.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's not the greatest shot creator, but he's really good at passing, and every once in a while, he definitely gets to the basket, and he should make some baskets. They need to be more aggressive on offense. That's what I think. They need to be able to, once they build a lead, just keep going and keep going, and not let Oklahoma City, in their desperation and flying around and trying to get steals, and it worked last night. How many turnovers did the Jazz have in the second half?
Yeah.
They need to find out a way to stay aggressive and get to the ball. What they're trying to do is they're trying to prevent those extra passes out on the perimeter or down low. So they're gonna stick their arms out. You may have to be a little bit more selfish and just take the ball to the basket yourself.
We just got to win one out of the next two games. That's really what it is. And much prefer to do it at home. And certainly for the sake of being able to get a little bit of rest, you do it on Friday, you still get the full weekend plus to be able to sit around and kind of prepare for the best team right now in the NBA, which are the Houston Rockets. So, Cleon, anything else to add before I get the the sexy jazz music? I was really impressed by it. I kind of want to do it on the way out, too.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it on the way out. The only other thing I will have to say about this is – I blew it, Jazz fans. I was right for I was right for 2.5 quarters. I said the Thunder don't have heart to win this thing, except for Russell Westbrook, and he kept shooting and shooting and shooting, and then he got hot, and that's kind of what did you in.
What version of Russell Westbrook are we going to see on Friday? That's the question.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. One good game, is that enough?
Jazz fans, download, subscribe. Tell your friends about the podcast here at Jazz Notes. All through the week, we give you these little tidbits here as we go through the playoffs. So for Cleon Wall, I'm Alex Curie. See you guys. Oh, we hope after a W over the weekend. We'll see you then.